Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Please be seated. As I mentioned before, our service began during the seasons of Advent and Lent and Easter. The first word or words of our introit serve as a title or name for the Sunday we celebrate. And these Latin titles give us insight into the character and the message of that particular Sunday. So again, the title of this particular Sunday, the fifth Sunday of Easter, is Cantate, and that means sing. We've heard that command several times this morning already. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Sing to the Lord a new song, Alleluia, for he has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. Alleluia. The Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. But while that name, Cantate, is applied to this particular Sunday of the church year, it could be appropriately applied to every Sunday, at least in the Lutheran Church. For the Lutheran Church has been known as the Singing Church, and that name is well deserved, even to this very day. Surely you know how our services are sung, beginning to end. Hymns, yes, even hymns that consist of 10 stanzas or more. Canticles, words of Holy Scripture, songs from the Scriptures, applied to music, which we ourselves sing. Our prayers, our chants, our blessings, all are sung. But how could we do otherwise? How could we do anything but sing when it comes to the absolute joy that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord? Now, we have been given the privilege to pray, to praise our holy and triune God, that he has blessed us, his people, with his name, that we receive the sacrament of Jesus' very body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. What better thing to do than to sing praises to the Lord? He truly has done gloriously, forgiving our sins, giving us life and salvation. Truly it is right that we shout and sing for joy, for great in our midst is the Holy One of Israel. For Christ our Lord, and the Father and the Holy Spirit are present with us in the means of grace, even this very moment. We sing to the Lord a new song, Alleluia, for he has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations, the righteousness that is found only in Christ Jesus, who died that we might be righteous in God's sight. Truly, by grace and grace alone, the Lord God is our strength and our song, and he has become and remains forevermore our salvation. But as you well know, it's not always easy to shout and sing for joy, or to sing praises to God, is it? To many, maybe even to you this morning, this seems a bit naive, especially if you are finding yourself in that little while of sorrow about which we heard last week. Sing to the Lord a new song? How can we sing after what just happened earlier this week? How can we sing after the news I just got from my boss, or my spouse, or my child? How can I sing when I don't know what tomorrow will bring? What if I can't sing? What if I don't want to? These are valid questions, but the answer for us Christians is this. We do not sing because we've managed to avoid the sorrows of this world, just the opposite. We sing because we have experienced sorrow. We sing even while we are in the little while of sorrow now. For the church's song is found only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to us and us to the world. Now, this flies directly in the face of human reason and experience, sure. But our singing as Christians is not of this world. It is the gift of God, from whom comes every good gift and every perfect gift from above. It is a gift given to us upon our Lord's ascension on high, a gift given to the church on Pentecost. This gift is the reason why Jesus says it is to your advantage that he should go away. For this gift, this song, is the help of the Holy Spirit, whom Christ has given to you, whom Christ has given to the church. Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, is called by Jesus the Spirit of truth and the helper. And indeed he is. You, regardless of your earthly circumstances, can sing to the Lord, can shout and sing for joy, can sing praises, because the Holy Spirit of truth has helped you, because he has taught this song to you. Now, to be sure, there's a lot of confusion out there as to what this song of the Holy Spirit is. And let's be clear, it's not babbling or speaking gibberish and unintelligible tongues. It's not manifested in shaking or laughing or falling or dancing or shouting. It's not seen only in healings and signs, accompanied only by the faith and prayer of the individual. It's not moral perfection in life, in thoughts, words, and deeds. It's not the ability to foretell earthly events to come, and most certainly not the ability to foretell the particular date of our Lord's return in glory. Those who think that the song of the Holy Spirit consists of such things have forgotten what Jesus himself said about the Holy Spirit. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you, Jesus says. All that the Father has is mine, therefore I said that he, the Spirit, will take what is mine and declare it to you. So according to Jesus, the Holy Spirit's task and work is this, to make Christ known. And he does this in three ways. He convicts the world concerning sin, and he convicts the world concerning righteousness, and he convicts the world concerning judgment. Therefore, we may discern between the spirit of truth and a spirit of deception. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ to be Lord, every spirit that does not convict concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment as the Lord has spoken, is not the spirit of truth. He is not your helper. These are false spirits who have not come from God. But the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, sings this song. And that song begins by convicting the world concerning sin. You've learned this in your confirmation classes and elsewhere as the law of God. And the second use of the law is to show you your sin. And by his law, God would strike down all people, whether they be blatant, obvious sinners or outwardly good in their conduct and speech. For in the law, God declares no one to be righteous, no, not one, but all to have sinned and to fall short of the glory of God. The Holy Spirit preaches this word through the word of Scripture, through the mouths of the preachers, to convict the world, and that includes you, of your inability to keep the law. The Scripture says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And many engage in that very deception. But the truth is, an honest assessment of your life according to the law of God will reveal many sins of thought, word, and deed, of action, and of inaction. But we should note that our Lord Jesus this morning does not say that the Holy Spirit convicts the world concerning sins, plural, but rather sin, singular. His primary conviction is not certain actions, but rather a condition. Your sinful condition from the very moment of your conception. That is to say, your inability to keep the Ten Commandments is symptomatic of a greater disease that has corrupted your very flesh and blood, body and soul, sin, original sin. As Jesus says, the Spirit convicts the world concerning sin because the world does not believe in him. That is the chief sin from which all other sins flow, unbelief. Or, as the Catechism puts it, every violation of commandments 2 through 10 is a violation of number 1, you shall have no other gods. And that's why every explanation of those 9 commandments begins with a brief summary of the explanation of the first commandment. You remember, we should fear and love God so that. Apply it to each of the 10 commandments and you'll see. Failure to keep the Sabbath day holy denies the one true God and makes a God out of whatever it is you want to do with your time. Failure to honor your father and your mother denies the one true God and makes yourself a God, the supreme authority over your life. Committing adultery makes a God out of lust. Stealing makes a God out of money. False testimony makes a God out of your own thoughts and words. And thus we see sins testify to that original sin, the rejection of God and unbelief. For this original sin and all the actual sins that come from it, the Holy Spirit convicts and brings judgment upon the world, including you, that is declaring you to be under God's wrath and judgment, deserving only his eternal condemnation. We would all be lost and condemned forever if that were the only song the Spirit sung, song of conviction, of the law, of sin. But thanks be to God, the Spirit then continues by singing a song of comfort and promise and grace, the gospel of Jesus Christ. For secondly, Jesus says, the Spirit convicts the world concerning righteousness. And this is not the righteousness that you might earn by your own obedience, for that is paltry and frail. But rather, he convicts the world concerning the righteousness of Jesus Christ himself. As he said, the Spirit convicts concerning righteousness because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. The righteousness of the law gives way to the righteousness of the gospel. And this righteousness is not a goal to be achieved by your works, but rather a gift to be received by faith. For you who have been convicted by the Spirit of your sin through the law, hear the gospel. The Spirit has spoken the song of the gospel through the prophets and the apostles. Old and New Testaments alike speak of Jesus. In the scriptures, we hear of Jesus' righteousness, his perfection, his miracles, his teachings. And all this he has done for you and for your salvation. Jesus Christ suffered all for you, even death upon the cross. And he did so in perfect, unblemished righteousness. He made himself a sacrifice for your sin. Again, both original and actual, sin and sins. And by his death, he defeated death, destroyed hell, conquered the devil. And he was vindicated in that same righteousness on Easter morning when he rose to life, never to die again. The righteous one, Jesus, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death has no dominion over him. And he has gone to the Father. He has ascended into heaven and sits at the Father's right hand. There he is, in the flesh, true God and true man, your brother and your Lord. And as you share in that flesh, by grace, through faith, you share in his righteousness as well. It is true also, as we've learned in the Catechism, that you cannot by your own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called you by the gospel, enlightened you with his gifts, and sanctified you, and kept you in the true faith. This faith is a gift of God, just as Jesus' righteousness is a gift to you as well. No works, nothing you've deserved, not even a decision or a choice that you made of your own reason or strength. Simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And the Holy Spirit himself gives you that faith by which you believe. He sings concerning Jesus' righteousness, the righteousness that is given to you by grace alone and received by faith alone. And therefore, as John writes in his first epistle, we are righteous as he is righteous. But the Holy Spirit has one more song of conviction, a song of triumph. He convicts the world concerning judgment. And thanks be to God, this song is not a song of your own judgment, the one that you deserve because of your sins. Because in fact, that judgment has been rendered already. In baptism, and every time you've received the absolution, whether publicly or privately. For when you are baptized, when your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the verdict of God's judgment is upon you. And that is forgiven, righteous, innocent. And so the judgment concerning which the Spirit convicts is not yours, no, for you know it already. Rather, he convicts the world concerning Satan's judgment. For the ruler of this world is judged, says our Lord. The name Satan means accuser, and that's exactly what he does. He accuses you day and night before God concerning your sin. He is the diabolical prosecutor who would love to see you locked up for eternity in the lake of fire for your crimes against God and man. But the Holy Spirit is your helper, your advocate, who testifies on your behalf concerning Jesus' righteousness. He defends you, and his evidence is irrefutable. You have been judged innocent because of Jesus' sacrifice for you. And now Satan, the ruler of this world, is judged. In fact, the devil has given false testimony against you. He's accused you of your sin, when in fact Christ has removed it from you as far as the east is from the west. He has drowned those sins in the depths of the sea. You are forgiven by the blood of Christ. So the devil cannot accuse you any longer. In fact, he is judged, and his verdict is guilty, and he will burn in the lake of fire forevermore. And you on the other hand, you will sing. Sing forevermore. Where Christ is, there you shall be also. These are the things that are to come, that Jesus says the Spirit will make known to you. This is the new song of the Holy Spirit. It goes like this. Your sin, Jesus' righteousness, Satan's judgment. And that in the end is why we as Christians can sing in every circumstance. Whether we find ourselves in loneliness or abundance, hunger or plenty, sickness, health, and joy, or in a little while of sorrow. For the Holy Spirit is your helper. He has been given to you, and he teaches you to sing of Jesus. He takes what is Christ's and declares it to you. He guides you into the eternal truth of God's word. The Lord is the Spirit, and he opens your lips to declare God's praise. And when that song is slow to come due to affliction or weakness, the Holy Spirit sings himself for you with groanings too deep for words. What he has heard, he speaks. And he declares to you the things that are to come, the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. So again, sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Sing to the Lord a new song, Alleluia, for he has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. Alleluia. The Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Yes, sing. Sing to the Lord today. Sing every day. Sing, whether you've been singing faithfully since you learned it from infancy from your parents, or whether you were hearing it for the first time this morning. Sing to the Lord, man and woman, young and old, rich and poor, healthy and ill, happy and sad. Sing. For the Lord Jesus has sent his Holy Spirit to be your helper, and he will keep you in this song unto eternal life, where you shall sing praises before the throne of God with the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven forevermore. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Please stand. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.